Welcome to the Teach and Tell podcast. I'm your host, Mike Raymer, Executive Director of the Georgia Council on Economic Education, an organization whose mission is to help teachers teach economics and personal finance. Come along as we spend time with some great teachers to learn more about what it's really like in the classroom. Today's guest is Melissa Hegarty. Melissa is the Stock Market Game Coordinator here at the Georgia Council on Economic Education, and she is a former classroom teacher. So, Melissa, if you would, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your teaching career.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. I'm really excited to be here today. So I am the Stock Market Game Coordinator at GCE. So I run the Stock Market Game for the state of Georgia. So each semester, we have something around 12 to 13,000 students that play the Stock Market Game. And my job is to train the teachers so that they're able to teach their students about how to invest in the stock market. And in the game, they get to invest a hypothetical $100,000 in the stock market in 10 weeks. So I do all of the teacher training. I get to help teachers get registered, and I get the awesome job of awarding prizes at the end of the game.
Nice.
Yes, but prior to coming to GCE, I was a teacher for 10 years. I taught at Decatur High School, and I also taught in at Southwest DeKalb High School. And then for 5 years, I also taught at a small charter school in Indianapolis.
Cool. And primarily, what subjects did you teach?
So I taught economics for high school all 10 years, and I actually taught it at just about every grade level. Traditionally in Georgia, economics is taught to seniors, but at the last school I was at Decatur High School, I taught economics to ninth grade students, which was a very interesting experience, but they did a great job with it. You just had to adapt the subject just a little bit for a younger grade of students. And then in addition to teaching economics, I also taught world history, European history, and government.
There you go. Pretty full slate. All right. So Melissa, what do you think when you think about teaching, what's the most rewarding part of being a teacher or former teacher?
I think it has to be helping students. There's a lot of magic in when you are teaching a particularly difficult concept and you see it finally click in with the students, that you see their entire demeanor change from at the beginning, they're maybe puzzled or even feeling a little bit frustrated, and you're able to engage them and they get it and they just get this kind of eureka look on their face and are really excited. I can think of one student in particular that really struggled with economics, and she was just so determined. And she would come to my office hours or tutoring sessions that I had every week after school. And we would try a number of different ways to tackle whatever subject we were learning. So if we were learning supply and demand graphs, we would start off by graphing it. And then we talk about, you know, well, like we're making pizza with this supply and demand graph and all these different ways. But after trying a number of different ways, when she would finally get it, just that look on her face of accomplishment, what was just such an amazing thing to experience and be a part of.
Nice. It's a great feeling when you're like, oh, I taught him that. This is great.
Yes.
flipping that around, I guess, to the other side of this question is, what do you think the greatest challenge of being a teacher is? And part two of that is, what would you do if you could make changes to the profession to make the profession better?
That's a really good question. So I think that the greatest challenge in being a teacher today is the number of demands that are placed on teachers. There simply just aren't enough hours in the day to do everything that is asked, or at least to me, to be able to do everything that is asked in a satisfactory way that I would want to do things. When you're a teacher, you're in the classroom in front of students and you're teaching the majority of the day. And then in the very small amount of time that you're not in front of students, there are a million other things that you're asked to do. You have to write the lessons that you're going to teach the next day. Even if you're not writing it yourself, you're researching, well, what lesson am I going to do? Where can I find the source of that lesson? How is it aligned to the curriculum that I'm supposed to be teaching, the standards that I'm supposed to cover? In addition, you have to grade what the students have done. And that takes a ton of time, especially grading essays.
Oh, they're rough.
Yes, I mean, they're so essential for students to do, but I can vividly remember spending my entire spring breaks every year grading essays because that was the only time that I would have to grade them. Because during the regular day, you're too busy doing other things.
Yeah.
And those other things include being a counselor to students, helping them with a variety of problems, writing letters of recommendation to colleges, emailing parents, doing professional development. It's just there are a lot of things on teachers' plates right now.
That's why they invented summer vacation. Otherwise, no one would teach. They do
Yes.
it year round.
When I was a teacher, the thing that I would always think of is when is my next break? And luckily, a lot of the schools I was at, they had a break every 2 months. So we had a fall break, we had a Thanksgiving break, the holiday break, and then we had a February break, and also one in April for spring break as well. And if we didn't have those breaks, I think I would have completely burned out, just because there's just so many things that you're constantly trying to do.
I remember really looking forward to test days because it'd be like, all right, it's going to be a day, a period where it's going to be quiet and I can get things done in the classroom while the kids are in the classroom.
Oh, yes, test days were some of my favorite days because you could actually sit down
Yes.
in a chair all day, which was a revelation.
Quiet.
Just a side story, whenever it was my first couple of weeks, like starting off a new school year, I would always get these horrible leg cramps and soreness because I wasn't accustomed to standing all day, like in back in early August, and I'd have to build up my strength to do that. But test days were great. You got to sit, you got to, do some planning, some work on the computer, but of course then you had to grade the
Sure.
test.
Yeah. I remember like always the first couple of days of school losing my voice. Because like you're those first couple of days you're talking the whole time, going over rules and syllabus and all that kind of stuff. And just by the end of the day, just my voice was shot. It's like I wasn't in teaching shape to talk for 8 hours a day.
The worst is when you're sick
Oh, geez.
and then you still have to go in and
Yeah.
talk, especially pre-pandemic, where it was totally normal for you to go into a room of people with a cold and not really think
Yeah.
anything of it. And so I would go in and I would have a cold and I'd be trying to teach. I'd lose my voice. And by the end of the day, I would have a little personal size whiteboard and I would write down all of my instructions for students to do on my whiteboard.
Yeah, I remember it being sick, same thing, and just writing on the board, I'm sick, I can't talk. Every question has to be a yes or no question. And I had a yes sign and a no sign, and I would just point. Those turned out to be really fun days because the kids got pre-creative, and it was just a kind of a fun thing. But teaching when you're sick, man, that's rough. Just
It is. It is
yes.
indeed. And even if you are too sick to go in, sometimes you can't find a sub,
Yeah, you gotta go.
or it's so much work to write up the lessons for a sub. So it's a tricky thing for sure.
I always profess that taking a day off is more work than actually going to work as a teacher. If you're dealing with
Yes.
the sub and then you're dealing with the fallout of the next day when you get back,
Oh,
there's
yes.
a note from the sub and it would be very detailed and like, John talked. Yeah, that's what John does. His job. Melissa, do you have a single favorite teaching memory? Can you pinpoint one thing that really stands out from those 10 years?
That is a tough question because I have a lot of really great memories from teaching. But I can think of one in particular. So my first 5 years of it as a teacher, I began at a tiny little charter school in Indianapolis. And it was a small school of about 600 students. It was really close-knit, where you kind of like everybody knew everybody. All of the teachers knew all of the students. Everyone knew each other's names. And I, at the time, taught economics to 11th grade students, and then I taught European history in 12th grade. And so I was often able to have the same group of students for 2 years in a row, which was really great because we were really able to form a lot of great relationships, become pretty close, in that teacher-student dynamic. And one of the things I like to do as a teacher, especially as like a young kind of hip teacher,
Sure.
or at least I thought that I was young and hip back then, is that I like to play music for the kids during their independent work time. So if they're reading or doing a pop quiz, I would play music, and thinking that I was young and hip, quote unquote. I tried to play a lot of like current music that I thought that the students would like, kind of like alternative music that was like just becoming popular that they hadn't heard of before. So it was like a lot of like Alt J, Glass Animals, that sort of thing that was
Okay.
just becoming popular back then. And the students, some of them enjoyed listening to the music. And so when it finally came time for me, to move. So I ended up moving from Indianapolis down to Atlanta. And I told the class of seniors that, I'd had for a long time. And they were, I was really moved that there was one student in particular that made me a farewell gift of a mix CD of all of her favorite songs,
Nice.
and songs that she thought that I would like. And I just thought that that was such a thoughtful and kind of neat thing for her to do.
It's the connections with students, right? I mean, that's why we do it.
Exactly. I mean, what we teach students is of great importance for them to be able to operate in our world, but they don't remember the things that we teach them. They don't remember so well that, oh, we learned about, when this happens with supply, the curve shifts to the left. They don't necessarily remember that, but what they do remember are the relationships that we develop with our students. And so I think that that is some of the most important things that we can do as teachers.
Yeah, I agree. I did a couple during COVID, I did a podcast called Former Student Podcast. I interviewed more than 30 of my former students who some of them I hadn't taught in, 10, 15 years. And all of them said exactly that. It's like it wasn't necessarily what you taught, it was sort of the atmosphere and the what you're coming to your classroom, like what we did there and the fun stuff and the like that's what they remember. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. It's the
Absolutely.
relationships, 100%. So Melissa, you I guess recently had this happen to you. There was a time not long ago when you had your last class period of the last day of your last day of teaching. So imagine if you go through that again and you could pick, like, all right, I got to do one more lesson. This is it before I walk out the door. What are you going to teach? What's your last lesson?
That is also a really tough question. One of the things I loved, especially about teaching economics, is that there's so many fun simulations and activities that you can do with students. And it comes more naturally to economics than a lot of the other social studies disciplines. But I loved hands-on simulation. So, for example, one of my favorite lessons, and one that I might want to give as the one that I would, do on my last day of teaching is an auction about inflation.
Oh, yeah.
So I would go around the room and I would give students currency. And my favorite form of currency was always dried pinto beans, which is great because
Indestructible.
they're indestructible, they're cheap, you don't have to cut anything up. So really easy. So I give everyone, like a small handful of pinto beans for their money. And then I would pull these items out of a mystery bag and they would bid on the item. So maybe They might buy a candy bar for 5 beans and a bag of chip for 7 beans or something like that. But we would go through the auction, and eventually kids would complain, like, I don't have enough money. I can't buy what I want. And I would say, oh, well, you know what? I'm feeling really generous today. So I'm going to give everyone a raise. And this is going to make everything better. So I went out around like Oprah and I'm like, you get money and you get money and you get money, and just giving away all the money. And then we did the auction again. And the students realized that they weren't in any better of a position than they were before, that the prices just went up. It was the same amount of items. And so their buying power didn't really change. And it was just a fun way to be able to learn about inflation. And that's what I loved about teaching economics, is that there was always some sort of really fun simulation that was hands-on that you could use to teach students about a particular economic concept.
Yes, we love to say around the office, econ is life, and it is. Your
Absolutely.
answer sparked an amazing memory from my teaching career. You mentioned the bag, the mystery that you'd have items in. I'm holding in my hands right now the bag of mystery that I would use on my inflation auction day. A student made me this. So I would put things in this purple, beautiful, velvety looking bag of mystery, and I would pull them out. And that's what we used in my classroom. And again, that's because a student liked it and said, I'm going to make you a bag of mystery, Mr. Raymer. And she did. And I still have it.
Oh, I love that. That is so much fun. And it really does look like a sort of like hocus pocusy kind of magical bag of mysteries.
Yes.
It has like moons and stars all over it.
All over
It's like
it.
a velvet material. What a cool thing that a
And
student
it
did.
would just be filled with dumb crap that I bought at the dollar store, sitting at the front of the room. And the kids would walk in and be like, ooh, what's that? That's the bag of mystery. What's that mean? You'll see. And things just got better from there.
Oh, the dollar store is gold for teachers. I mean, you can get so many fantastic items,
Yes.
and students get so excited about them too.
Yeah, I think I always found that the dumber the thing, the better. I was like, okay, I don't typically want this, but I really want it now because it's school. All right. Melissa, can you think of a cool, fun, great teaching strategy or resource that's out there that maybe not every teacher knows about that you think every teacher should know about for their classroom?
So, I actually want to bring up Quizlet Live.
Bring it
Now,
up.
most teachers know about Quizlet. They probably use it all the time in their classroom. They put, students put their vocab list on there. They can use it like flashcards, that sort of thing. But Quizlet Live, I think a lot of teachers don't actually use this. And I like it because it allows for teachers to bring a game into their classroom that requires teamwork. So if you've never played Quizlet Live before, you might have a group of maybe 3 or 4 students, and they'll get, they can use their phones or electronic devices, and on all of their devices, the team that share playing together, they'll get the definition, and then on their devices, each of them will have different answers. And so they have to ask each other, well, I think the answer is this. Do you have the answer? Do you have the answer? And so I really like it for that particular collaboration aspect. There are a lot of great games out there. Kahoot quizzes, for example, is really fun. GymKit is really fun. But I find that they're very individualized, and there's not a lot of collaboration talking, and especially because those games are timed, that even if students are playing as a team, they're racing to answer quickly, and so they're not often talking to each other. And so I like Quizlet Live because it forces them to talk to each other. They're not able to get the answers unless they're saying, hey, what do you think the answer is? Do you have that answer? Maybe I have that answer. And it's also so easy for teachers. It's, I think, actually much easier for teachers to create a game in Quizlet Live than it is to do in quizzes or Kahoot, because you don't have to make up all of these multiple choice questions. Quizlet Live, you just put in a vocabulary list and it makes it automatically for you. So you could, get this game ready to go in 3 or 4 minutes.
Nice. It does seem like there's so much great technology out there for teachers compared to when I first started out, maybe when you first started out. A lot of things that I'm like, damn it, I wish that was around when I was teaching because that looked cool. I would love to do that. All right. Thank you. So, final question I have for you. Which actor is going to play Melissa Haggerty when Hollywood decides to, hey, we need to make a movie about this person because she was awesome?
I mean, that may not be the sort of movie that wins any Academy Awards or gets a lot of
That doesn't
attention,
matter. It's not why we're
but
doing this.
I do love Anne Hathaway.
She's great.
She's a great actress. I've loved her for years, ever since Devil Wears Prada. She's just great in everything that she does. So, yeah, her.
See her walking the halls of Decatur High School, teaching some econ. That'll work.
I can see it.
All right. So, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us on the Teach and Tell podcast. And thank you, most importantly, for being an outstanding teacher and continuing to be outstanding in your role as the stock market game coordinator here at the Georgia Council.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It was a pleasure to be here.
All right, I'll see you at work.
All right.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Teach and Tell podcast. Help us spread the word and promote great teachers by giving us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, I'm Mike Raymer, and I'm here to remind you that econ is life.